Hi, everyone. I'm Kelly Pokies Burke, and this is the Career Slay podcast. Imagine the impact we could have on society if everyone loved what they did. That's what Career Slay is all about. I'm interviewing people who love their jobs and asking them how they got there and what they've learned along the way. We're here to slay the fear in career. My next guest on Career Slate is Dan Jacobs. Dan is an innovation lead, design director, and lifelong entrepreneur. Currently, Dan is part of the leadership team of the innovation consulting practice at Accenture. He and his team specialize in helping large companies bring new products, services, and the organizations that will allow them to grow to life through the design, build, and scale of new capabilities that support innovation. Prior to his current role, Dan has worked as a design lead, developer, creative technologist, and photojournalist, and he's a proud dad of two. Dan attended the University of Notre Dame, where he received his Bachelor of Fine Arts degree in industrial design. It was so great catching up with an old college friend. What stuck out to me in this episode is that Dan thought he wanted to do a specific type of design, industrial design, but instead he saw how he could apply the skills he learned and pivoted his ambitions to what the market needed, which was interactive design. Dan shares really valuable career insight about focusing on outcomes instead of just the job or the company. We talk about identifying what makes you happy and satisfied and the outcomes you want to achieve. Finally, he shares about how he took a career break and how that gave him the time and space to reflect and refocus on his goals. Dan, welcome to Career Slay.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. We went to college together.
We did.
We studied the same major, which we'll talk about. Industrial design, ID, shout out, Anne-Marie.
That's right.
But we took different paths.
We did.
I actually don't do design anymore.
And I still somewhat do design.
Oh, really?
But not everything.
Well,
not all everything we learned.
Let's start from the beginning. Tell us, what was your childhood like?
I wouldn't say that I was a shy kid necessarily, but I was always the one who was trying to figure out how to get the most value out of his time. So I was always the kid who was scrapping for a dollar and trying to be a little bit entrepreneurial around. So I was mowing lawns. I was refereeing soccer. I was the kid who was emailing the grocery store when I was 12, trying to figure out how to get a job, which is pretty weird.
There was email when you were 12?
I figured it out, and no one answered the email, and I don't think the grocery store even knew they had an email address. I was not the kid who went up. I was too afraid to go up to the manager counter and say, "Hey, will you hire me to go do a thing?" And my parents are like, "What are you doing? You need to be in school. You need to focus on whatever else." But I think it was a notion of wanting to have some control, wanting to learn a little bit differently than just the stuff that was in school, and wanting to show some accomplishment for what I was doing in my everyday life. So I think I was a little bit of a weird kid in that way, but I learned a ton from those experiences. And I think some of that kind of entrepreneurial spirit carries on today.
So where did you go to college?
University of Notre Dame.
Never heard of it.
Yep. Which was funny for me because I grew up in South Bend.
Oh yeah, that's right.
As well. So it was always a little bit of a hesitation of if I should stay close to home. And so I wrestled with that a little bit, but in the end, I think I felt comfortable and confident enough that meeting new people, having new experiences on campus close to where I was going to be different enough. And that ended up proving to be true.
What got you interested in industrial design?
I was really interested in the notion of the things in our physical environment that we interact with as humans. And not just the products themselves, but the experiences and the emotions that are created by interacting with those things. Industrial design can be very focused on sort of the practice of creating those items. But I think what I learned even more from that experience was how you do the research, how you do the analysis, how you understand how humans are thinking, feeling, what their needs are, and how to help fulfill those needs. And that's something that really stretches beyond just the industrial design space into other design worlds and into business, into life. And I think that was a really valuable experience for me.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the design thinking process that we learned and just how that's applied to every innovation process now, because you're solving people's problems, essentially.
Exactly.
So you study industrial design. What did you do after college?
It's funny. When we did this major, Some of us were in a kind of a track where we'd had to go do this thesis, and it was a very valuable piece of the program. But all of a sudden, you know, you've been heads down for the last 9 months putting this thing together, and all of a sudden it's May, and you realize, oh, I'm about to graduate. I need to figure out what I'm going to go do. And I think I had a vision in my head of going down a very traditional industrial design path, moving to Chicago, going to go work at one of these agencies. And it was like, oh, I got to go figure out how to actually go fulfill this dream now. So figured out how to save up a little money. Didn't have a job. I had sort of an internship that I was doing over the summer for a company nearby that gave me some runway. Started putting together really my portfolio and starting to make connections and do all of that. And almost immediately started freelancing for different places based on people that I knew. But the kicker of it was that it wasn't necessarily freelancing traditional industrial design gigs. A lot of it was really in the digital space, whether it was design or development. And it became pretty clear within a few months that that was where a lot of the energy was at the time. This is 2011. At a certain point, I kind of said, you know, this is really interesting to me. It's a space that I had some experience in working at agency indie and doing things on the side myself. And I said, what would it look like for me to fully immerse myself and apply everything that I've learned in my design skills to more of the digital space or kind of the transitional space between physical and digital? Mm-hmm. So eventually ended up in a interaction design role at a company called Acuity Group with a number of Notre Dame alums as well. They gave me a chance, and that really set off the next trajectory of where I moved with my career.
Let's talk a little bit about the difference between industrial design and interactive design. Can you explain?
Yeah, so industrial design is really focused on the creation of physical products and not just the ideation and identification of what that product should be, but also how do you prepare and ready that for, you know, prototyping, evolving that to manufacture, et cetera, et cetera. When we talk about interactive or interaction design, that's generally thinking a little bit more about the digital space, though it can have physical application as well. And I like to say that every digital interaction also takes place in a physical context. Mm-hmm. So that's an important consideration at any point in time, no matter what you're designing. But it really comes down to what are the goals of the user in a particular context and how do you help them to achieve those goals through whatever the tool, product, application, or service that you might be designing.
Yeah, so super simply, an industrial designer might design an iPhone, but then an interactive designer would design the user interface of that iPhone.
Yep, that's a great way to put it. And then the next chapter that I think really changed how I thought about design and how my skills come together to contribute was at a company called Fjord. And Fjord is a service design agency. Mm-hmm. And service design is really thinking about, it's almost a level up from thinking about experiences, but everything that needs to take place for an experience or interaction to be successful. So not just what is the end user using on their iPhone, but everything that has to take place behind that, whether it's with the employee that you might be interacting with, the backend systems or services, and really everything that needs to be true for a successful service to take place for you.
Yeah, so it's kind of that full funnel experience.
Exactly. So that really, I think, was a important reframe of everything that I think had come together for me, because it encompassed both the digital and physical space, but also the kind of interpersonal side of that and system side of that as well. You have to think about everything that needs to happen.
You're problem solving everything.
Yeah, and it's not to the most minute detail, but it's understanding kind of the orchestration that needs to take place so that you can then get into those smaller bits and pieces. What does a company need to do every time you design a new service?
Yeah.
And oftentimes with the organizations that we might be working with, it is basically thinking about how do you create a startup from within what you're already doing, which is really exciting.
Yeah, that's fascinating because, you know, a lot of companies, if they're starting up, they're focusing on the product design. They're focusing on how is my product better than anything that's out there in the market. But in order to get it to the market, someone needs to think of what are the processes and systems in place to sell it and get it to the end user.
and ensure that that end user has a delightful experience.
Yeah.
And when it goes wrong, that they're supported through that. And when it goes right, that they're able to tell the world about it as well.
So after your service design role, what did you transition into next?
Yeah, so I took a moment last year to do a little bit of, you know, evaluation of what is the work that I get the most energy out of, and looking at past projects, what are the things that I most enjoy, and where do I want to continue to learn, and where do I want to continue to grow? And one of the places that gave me energy was helping clients, organizations, companies to build new product and innovation capabilities in order to actually come up with the best new products and services that are going to be the next big thing in the world. So just this summer, I moved over into a group, which is a newer group, which we call Innovation Consulting. And it's really focused on the how side of innovation. So if you're an organization that wants to go build an innovation capability from within, we're there to help with the design, the build, the scale, and the execute of that program. So that's everything from what is the innovation funnel that we're creating, how do we prioritize the things within that funnel, and then how do we actually get teams going and building against those new ideas.
So it's not just a big whiteboard with sticky notes on it?
Oftentimes it starts with that.
Oh.
That's definitely always a part of the process.
Well, that's super cool. So how long have you been doing that role?
Just a few months. It's a internal transition, which is great. So I still have the same connects, a lot of the same clients, many new faces, and a lot of new opportunity.
What would you tell someone who is majoring in industrial design? Like, you took this kind of crazy path through all different facets of design. What would you tell them now, looking back at your career?
Yeah, it's funny because I've had a lot of conversations with people who are in that spot where they're about to graduate or they've recently graduated, and they said, you know, tell me about your career path and lessons learned from it. And I always say, don't try to follow my career path, because that makes no sense. Because it's a topsy-turvy matrix of things that have sort of come together to land me in a good spot. But in terms of lessons learned from that experience, I think focusing on the outcomes and focusing on the things that you love about the practice, the things that you love about the process, and what the benefits are that you want to help to make real in the world is a really important way to define the space that you want to occupy in terms of what you're going to bring to a company, to a new business, to your areas of passion. And those outcomes that you're trying to get to are going to ultimately guide the types of roles that you take on in your life.
That's awesome. So you took a career break, a sabbatical. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So in 2017, my wife and I took about 100 days off and did a round the world trip. I'm someone who believes that you can learn the most about yourself and learn the most about other people when you're in unfamiliar circumstances, because that's when you see how someone reacts raw in the wild to the sort of things that are happening around them. I started exploring it at work, and it turned out that there was a 3-month sabbatical program, which was sort of a semi-unpaid leave, but basically you got to keep your job at the end of it. You can use whatever additional PTO. My wife said, you know, she was working in child welfare at the time, and she, I think, was ready for a transition as well. And I was like, well, it looks like I can do this while maintaining my job. What are you thinking? And she was, I think, ready to move on to something new, to something else. And so she quit her job, and I took the sabbatical, and, you know, I thought it was going to be a whole big process, and it was literally, I filled out a form, and the next day I got approved.
Wow.
And we were, all of a sudden, one day we looked at each other, we're like, oh my gosh, we're about to go do this. So we left in January of 2017, and we had 100 days planned out, and we started in South Korea, and we ended in Morocco, and we made our way around the world.
That's amazing. How did that experience change your approach to work and life?
It was, I think, for me, an important moment to step away, and it was a reminder of why I do what I do. And I think it created the foundation for future career breaks, I would say. And career breaks don't need to be extended periods of time, but I would say moments of time when you can step away and reflect and focus, refocus on your goals in a way that you're not able to do when you're completely immersed. So I would say, for example, with my most recent career transition, the birth of my son was a great example of a career break as well, because that was a moment where I stepped away, refocused, spent time with family. We actually took a long road trip down the East Coast because February in Chicago is not a fantastic time to be in Chicago, but it was another great time to step away and really think about, you know, what are the things about my work that I love and where do I want to spend time and focus and really commit energy to in the next chapter.
That's great. So why is it important to infuse passion into your work?
Passion can be applied in so many different ways, but ultimately, if you can express why you love something or why you're putting energy behind something, then others are going to follow along. Others are going to believe in you. Others are going to really understand your story in a way that's different than if you keep that bottled up yourself. So that's not to say that passion is going to be a part of everything you do all the time, but in the big picture, it's going to be so important getting you past just 80% and a lot closer to 100% of your individual potential.
Yeah. I think it's so important to help fuel you when times get hard, right?
Yeah.
So looking back, what advice would you give your 20-year-old self?
It's so easy to think about, this is the job that I want. This is the company I want to work for. This is the very specific, exciting thing that I need to go do. It's a lot more difficult to think about sort of the outcomes that you want to get out of spending your time in those things. That's something that I wish that I spent a little bit more time in. I think I maybe haphazardly wandered into better understanding that for myself. But so much of my focus at that time was about, I want to go get this kind of job at this kind of firm and do this kind of work. Outcomes really are what allow you to make better decisions in the end, because if the actions you're taking, the places where you're putting your time and your energy are not getting you to those outcomes, then ultimately they're a waste or they're not in service of helping you to advance towards your goals in the end.
Do you have any advice for someone who is not quite sure what outcome they want to get out of an experience? Like, how do you figure that out for yourself?
I think first you have to think a little bit about what makes you happy. And some of that can be, you know, a lot of that, almost all of that is not going to be career related. Mm-hmm. But understanding what are the things at the top of your list that are important to you as an individual and the things that do make you happy or at least satisfied coming home at the end of the day, I think is a really important place to start. I think the other thing to think about is what is it that you want to learn? I found that when I get the most bored is when I'm in a spot where things are repetitious. If I'm not being stimulated in that way, if I'm not picking up new skills, that's when I'm getting stagnant. That's when I'm losing energy. That's when I'm not going after something that's new. So stepping back and thinking about, what are the areas that I want to grow? What are new skills that I want to build? What are things that are exciting to me? And putting energy towards that, I think, has been helpful in dictating how to take new steps forward when maybe those steps weren't terribly clear on the surface.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, it's about your values and identifying your priorities and growth, right?
Yeah. If you're not growing, you're dying, right?
Ooh, I like that. If you're not growing, you're dying.
I think that growth mindset is critical. You have to think about, even, you know, in the later stages of your career, granted, I'm not in the later stages of my career, but you do have to think about how do you continue to evolve, especially in the industries that many of us are in these days where everything around us is changing all mm-hmm. the time. So you really do have to start making sure that you're giving yourself time to actually think about what's coming next for you and where do you want to spend that energy.
Yeah. What I love about your story is you thought you wanted to be on a specific path. And when you realize kind of the opportunity in the market, you evolved your outcome or whatever yeah. you wanted to go after to meet what the market needed. And it kind of created this other path that you had no idea about. And in a haphazard way, you did all right.
It worked out. And it's not just like it 100% was, yes, the market is pushing in this direction. but I was able to figure out, okay, based on that, that is an input into the larger equation of where does Dan want to go? It looks on the surface like that was a huge part of some grand decision-making process. It's actually just one input in the course of many, many inputs, because I would argue the skills I'm using today are not that much different than the skills that I learned back in school and the things I was excited about and the things I was passionate about. It's just applied to a slightly different medium.
I think it's interesting how, you know, you talked about when we started, we all had this vision of, oh, we're all going to be designers at the end of this. And a lot of us, myself included, ended up doing other things. But I think to your point, we all utilize that foundational curriculum that we learned in design school to help us solve everyday problems.
It's so interesting because even the field of design, though, is changing all the time and what that gets applied to and what's asked of those that call themselves designers. So, I mean, I would argue that we're all just taking that sort of core set of skills and we're evolving it into different areas and different places that need those skills. I've actually been really excited to see where others have landed, even if it isn't necessarily like the traditional, you know, designer is my exact title on my LinkedIn profile type of outcome, because people have done some really, really cool stuff. And knowing them and having learned and grown with those people, I know that there are things that those skills and kind of that core way of thinking that we all learned and brought to the table was really important for getting them to where they are today.
Yeah. So if you had to sum up your career in three words, what would that be?
Never any regrets. And I know no regrets is a very kind of cliche thing to say about life, but I think it's super important to focus on the future and where you're going rather than dwelling on what's happened behind you. And I have so many days where things end and I'm like, that was not how I wanted it. But taking those learnings and focusing on the future and where that's going to take you, I think is so important. And when I make decisions in my life, it's always about, am I going to regret this later if I pass up this opportunity or if I don't actually go and explore this opportunity? So I try to give myself some space there. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But at least I've given it the right amount of effort to say, is this something that I should go deeper on in my life?
Yeah, life is too short to live with any regret. So that's such a great perspective to bring.
And it's all about focusing on the future and where you want to go and taking things somewhat day by day and giving yourself the space to explore the areas that you get passion from on that particular day and where you think things are headed.
And that's why you work in innovation.
And that's why I work in innovation. Exactly.
Full circle.
Exactly. You know, being in consulting can be tiring. It's a lot of hours, but the number of different problem spaces, clients, things you get to see, areas you get to explore, places you get to travel, weird corners of the world and industries that I never would have had exposure to, I think has been really exciting and stimulating. And I've learned way more from that experience than I ever could have imagined.
And I feel like you get to bring all of your outside experiences, like your travel experiences, into your day-to-day because you're seeing problems from every angle and you get that inspiration from the external world.
It's true. It's true. And it's funny because traveling and everything else, it's hard to turn off the, I call it the empathy voice that's in your head.
You're just doing ethnographic research. Like, what are they solving? What is this workaround right here?
Exactly. And how can you make this process better? How can you fix this thing? Why are all these people waiting in line like this? You know, you can't, once you start seeing it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Dan, for your time. It's been such a pleasure catching up with you.
Thank you. It's so great that you're doing these podcasts. I'm so excited for this. You've had a fantastic selection of guests and so excited to see who else you're able to bring on. And thank you for allowing me to tell my story.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Hopefully we can get some of our other classmates on as well.
Let's do it.
The Career Slate podcast is a co-production of Career Slate and Wild Reply, produced by Michael Burke. If you like the show, subscribe and give us a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. New episodes drop every other Tuesday, so stay tuned for some great conversations on slaying the fear in career.